Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Andrew Gunling is such a psychopath.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
Just horse. You're right, it was Nom. I gotta give a closer look to Peter's region.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's Andrew Gunling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
ENN for the final time this week. Andrew Gunling in for Peter Rosenberg, who will be back on Monday, along with Don LaGreca. And we begin ENN today on this Friday by saying hello to Gordon.
I like violence that I have no possibility of being involved in. Sometimes you take things out of context. I will stand by that. That is in context.
Seems rational to me.
Of course. Yeah.
And let's say hello to Dan.
Oh, man.
Well, there we go.
That says it all right there.
All right, let's begin ENN tonight with this. For the second time this week, we find ourselves here talking about something that Robbie Anderson said. Wouldn't have bet that at the beginning of the week, but here we are.
Wouldn't even have bet it before today.
Yeah. So here's Robbie Anderson. He was trying to, I guess, defend Sam Darnold and Sam's career up to this point. He was on the I Am Athlete podcast. Here's what Robbie had to say.
I feel like his development was all messed up coming into the league. I don't feel like, look at Pat and look at Lamar. They ain't play right away. I don't feel like Sam should have played right away.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So that's just, I feel like his career got jump-started the wrong way. I feel like being in the building, the coaches, I was there, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't right, you know what I'm saying? So in his defense, I don't feel like he was developed 100% correctly.
Unfortunately for Sam, he shouldn't have played early or late. It's only gotten worse since he's left the Jets.
Well, do you agree? I mean, in looking at it now, I would say, yeah, Robbie is probably right in seeing how Sam developed. That he probably, maybe that would have been different.
But then isn't it a case that maybe that he was just the wrong pick?
Well, like, I think we
do get them wrong, right? I mean, people get them wrong.
If you go back to training camp 2018, remember they had three guys. They had Sam, they had Josh McCown, and they had Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater was the best quarterback in camp, believe it or not, and it really was not a fair competition because it was skewed heavily towards the rookie winning the job, so much so that they took Teddy Bridgewater and traded him to who? The Saints, I think it was, right?
Yep, third round pick.
By that point, you knew Sam was going to get the job. I don't know. The problem is I don't know if it would have made that much of a difference in terms of Sam's development if he wasn't the guy that started week one.
I mean, you could make the argument that the year one wasn't all that bad.
Yeah, second half of the year was really
good. Yeah, I mean, came out right away with a game against the Lions, was unbelievable, and then he obviously got hurt. You know, he struggled because he was a rookie, got hurt, came back, final month looked good. It was not just the first year. I think you could make a stronger case that Zach Wilson shouldn't have played the first year than Sam Darnold should have played the first year. So,
very true.
Do you guys have a general philosophy on rookie quarterbacks as to whether or not they should or shouldn't play, or is it just totally each one is their own circumstance?
I think that's the key of coaching, right? You gotta know what you got. You gotta scout yourself. Before you can scout anything else, you gotta be able to scout what you have in your own disposal. So maybe it's possible Sam would have been a different quarterback if the Jets would have been able to build up. But, you know, like if he's sitting on the sidelines and the Jets are a bad team, then everybody's going to be saying, well, why aren't you playing him at this point? You got to go through your bumps at some point anyway. You got to get him in there.
I think it became a phenomenon in the league for a while, right? Joe Flacco was kind of like the first one. Remember, he helped take the Ravens to the AFC Championship game as a rookie, starting from day one. And then a year later, the Jets did the same thing with Mark Sanchez. They go to the championship game the first 2 years, and then it kind of went south from there. But I think it's each in and of itself. And I don't know, like, you're going to sit here and tell me that Mark Sanchez's career would have played out differently if he didn't start week one. You know what I mean? They went to the AFC Championship game the first 2 years. So I just think that one has nothing to do with the other a lot of times.
The comments from Anderson were a little bit of an indictment on the coaches specifically. Like if I were Todd Bowles or Jeremy Bates and heard that cut today, I'd say, come on, man. Layoff. Well, it's ancient
history.
Todd
Bowles, Todd Bowles has a Super Bowl ring he puts in his ear when he hears stuff like that now. So,
you know, I was thinking about the other cut that we had from Robbie Anderson where he was saying, well, I wasn't really saying anything bad against Baker Mayfield. I was actually protecting my guy Sam Darnold. When Carolina was involved in all the Deshaun Watson rumors, I don't remember him coming out and saying anything about Deshaun Watson, right? Kind of falls apart in his whole reasoning there.
That's a good
point. And Jeremy Bates, though, who was the offensive coordinator that first year with Darnold in 18, he's been out of the NFL since, if I remember correctly. I don't even think he's back in the league. So,
yeah. Let's see, guys. So, okay, here, a little uncomfortable with this one, but we here at ENN, we pride ourselves on giving you only the most accurate and sound information. So with that in mind, we have a follow-up story from something that we presented yesterday. I say we so as to spread blame among all
right.
of us. You're all responsible.
You did it.
We're all a team. We're all responsible.
I really thought this would be the Brazilian story.
Easy. yesterday, we had a story about Trent Williams becoming the first offensive lineman to join Madden's coveted 99 club with the first O-lineman with a 99 rating in Madden.
99, baby!
Well, there's some gray area to this.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
He's technically the ninth offensive lineman to receive the honor.
That's not even close.
You're right. And I'll run through them. Walter Jones, Jonathan Ogden, Larry Allen, Randall McDaniel, Tony Boselli, Mark Schlereth, Willie Rofe, and Dermonte Dawson. They all had it. In fact, Boselli was 100.
Peters never got one?
No, which is a crime that he never did. But at any rate. But here,
well, it's good for him. He probably would have got hurt again once he found out he got a 99, knowing Jason Peters.
But here's why the story was what it was. Apparently, Williams is the first since EA Sports decided that guys with a 99 rating would be part of this thing called the 99 Club.
Oh, I mean, this is such a scam. Yes. This is all, I mean, it's fugazi.
Yes. So I want to thank everyone for their tweet, specifically Zach Speranza, who helped helped to clear it up.
And, the fact that there are people in the audience that know this off the top of their head is a little troubling.
We just want to
care that much about it.
We just want to get it right. By the way, the other 99s for this year were leaked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How many are there?
Let's see. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, including Williams. You already know that one.
Didn't we name them yesterday?
Those were the ones who ended last year with that rating. This is now, apparently, again, this is a leak. I don't know if I've seen it officially from EA Sports, but this is just what I saw earlier today. I'll just tell you.
Mm-hmm. You've already spread misinformation, so why stop now?
It's a fair point.
Aaron Donald's one, right?
He is, yeah. Aaron Rodgers, Donald, mm-hmm. like you said, T.J. Watt, and Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, thank at least right. no Brady, because I told you, that Brady thing is fugazi. Yeah. He can't be a 99 when the guy can't run. I'm sorry.
No, I would agree. By the way, speaking of Madden, I saw Caesar Sportsbook tweet out earlier today that today is National Video Game Day, and they posed the question, what's your all-time favorite sports video game? So I'll ask you guys.
wow. Nostalgia reasons, just because of where I was in my life, it has to be Tecmo Super Bowl for Nintendo. Oh,
such a good one.
Because at the time, like, there was not a video game that had every single team in it until that point. And, and I remember I got it for Christmas. It was it might be one of the top probably two or three best Christmas gifts ever.
Yeah. It feels like there are certain sports video games that kind of up the sports video games in general to another level. And that was a big one. That took sports video games to a new level.
I mean, there was probably a specific version of Madden, a specific year of Madden, because that's the only place that I've ever seen the Dolphins win anything important. But if I had to pick just one specific game, it would probably have to be NHL 94.
Yeah, that's another one.
Can I ask you a question about that? Because like I had the game, loved the game, played it a lot. But why does the 94 version specifically?
Because the guy's head would bleed. That's why. Because you could knock him down and his head would bleed.
Just because of blood?
Yeah. I like violence that I have no possibility of being involved in. I told you who I was.
That's why the Mortal Kombat was such a big thing for the home video games when that came out, because it had the Sega Genesis version had the blood and the fighting.
Leave my torso alone.
Yeah.
Good reference. Let's see. More football, guys. Roger Goodell was a guest on Squawk on the Street on CNBC. He was talking about the league's Sunday ticket package, which is soon to become a free agent. He was asked where the Sunday ticket package might wind up. Here's what he had to say.
I clearly believe we'll be moving to a streaming service. I think that's best for the consumers at this stage. But we have so much interest right now, and there's so much innovation around that and how we're going to be able to change the way people watch football. And I think we'll probably have some decision by the fall.
I guess
if
not.
If I could just make a plea, Jeff Bezos, you're sitting on a bit of money. Could you just get it done there? Can it just be one of the streaming services I already have? Please. I don't want to have to get Peacock. I don't want to do it. By the way, did you see what baseball? I mean, baseball is so lost. They have the MLB Futures game, mm-hmm. right? Where you get to see the upcoming stars of the game. Look at the stars of tomorrow. Where do you think they put that, Dan? Take a guess.
That is a Peacock vehicle.
I mean, are you kidding me? It's like a joke. You have an MLB network. Could you pass up on the $5 from Peacock and put it on your own network? Oh, my God. I'm not saying that many people are going to watch it there. How many people are stumbling across it on Peacock?
By the way, Francisco Alvarez, the Met catcher, he is going to be in the Futures game. And three Yankees, Jason Dominguez, Anthony Volpe, and Ken Waldichuk. Those are the Yankee reps.
I almost want Ken Phelps there. The first Ken I thought of is a Yankee.
I got to be honest with you. I never heard of Ken Waldichuk. Sorry. He might go on to be a Hall of Famer, but I never heard of him.
You heard it here first.
Guys, more from Goodell, if you want, on what it is that he likes about streaming.
Well, right now, you know, we're on a linear service through DirecTV, and it's worked very well for us. But we really believe that these new platforms give us an ability to innovate beyond where we are today and make the experience for our consumers so much better. So it obviously makes it more available to our consumers, and particularly the younger demographic, which is one that we really want to get to. I think that this will make it more accessible for fans. I think it'll be a better experience for fans, and we're excited about it.
That's a long way to say money.
All right, it was simple. Right, the color green, that's about it. Now the question that I have for you guys, and I fall into this category. How many people after this upcoming season, because this is going to be the last year for all intents and purposes that the Sunday ticket is going to be exclusive to DirecTV, how many people are going to jump ship off of DirecTV? Because really, like, people have it just for that.
Yeah, it's such a pain in the neck to switch. There's not one service out there that anybody's like, oh, this is the best one. Everybody hates everything. So I have DirecTV, so I'll probably just stick with it.
I probably will too, but you know they're not going to be getting a lot more cuts because they said, like, even over the last few years, they haven't been getting as many new customers each year due to the Sunday ticket that they did, like, initially and for the first several years of the partnership. And now, with everybody knowing that it's going to be leaving, like, is that going to impact, like, sports bars and stuff like that? Like, because a lot of people, like, especially, like, if you're in the city, you can't get the satellite dish or you can't get all these other things and the bells and whistles. Like, people that go to the bars to watch their team from out of town or something like that. Is that going to be affected at all because of now the Sunday ticket will be streamed, for example?
They'll figure it out. Like, there's just no way that sports bars aren't going to carry football games.
That's a huge
Right. There's no chance. So I guess my answer is I don't know. Maybe they'll be affected, but I can't envision a world where sports bars are not airing NFL football.
No. They'll act it out if they have to. They'll hire actors to come and portray the games for you if they have to. I mean, come on.
Shakespeare does football.
Right, absolutely.
Let's see. Guys, the MLB All-Star Selection show is coming up at the top of the hour tonight, 7 o'clock on ESPN. But we already have two All-Stars confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Rob Manfred. Are they going to show that on Crackle?
Regular linear television, ESPN.
There you go.
On TV.
I have that. That's perfect.
Okay, good. Rob Manfred announced that 42-year-old Albert Pujols will be on the National League, while 39-year-old Miguel Cabrera is in for the American League. There's a new clause in the CBA that allows the commissioner to select a legend in each league without it taking away another player's spot. Pujols, Cabrera, the only players in MLB history to register 3,000 hits, 500 home runs, and 600 doubles. You guys like this provision that allows for this? I love it.
Because it's an exhibition game now. It doesn't matter, right? Now, is this the selecting of the full teams tonight or just the starters only?
You know what? That's a good question.
Just starters. On Sunday, you'll have your full team.
Interesting. Okay. So they're just the starters, which we kind of know already because they narrowed down this stupid, like, phase one, phase two thing with the voting, right? So, I mean, there really aren't that many surprises as to who's going to start or not.
Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do.
Yeah. Just play the game.
Yeah.
But I think this is good. I mean, Pujols already said he's going to retire after the season, so that could be. They're just trying to create moments, like what happened with Cal Ripken in Seattle those years ago.
That's fine. That's great.
I think it's good.
And then if they get one of those moments, they'll put it on Peacock.
Right, yeah. Does Pujols have any sort of connections to Dodger Stadium? Did he hit any monster home runs there?
Well, he played in L.A. with the Angels, so if you consider that a connection.
I guess.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's see. More baseball. Buck Showalter met the media earlier today. Mets have a game tonight against the Marlins. And Jacob deGrom is going to be pitching for Port St. Lucie in Daytona against the Tortugas at the same time. Buck was
asked. Tortugas?
Yeah. It's the Daytona Tortugas.
What's a tortuga?
I think it's a turtle.
Yeah. Tortuga.
So why don't they just call them the turtles?
Breaking Bad.
Well, it's Spanish for turtles, I think.
Yeah.
So that's why.
I got to brush up.
A big, fierce turtle.
Let's see. Buck Showalter, he was asked about those two things, the Met game and the DeGrom rehab appearance, those two things happening at the same time. Here's Buck.
Hey, Buck, there are going to be a lot of Mets fans kind of dual streaming you guys and St. Lucie.
What?
Dual streaming, watching at the same time.
I have no idea what that means.
They're going to be watching
painful.
The Mets.
Is it painful?
No, not that I know.
Radio, TV, so you're watching two games at once.
Well, when Jake DeGrom is pitching, I think there's...
We used to call that two screens in college football in the offseason.
It's DeGrom day to the fan base. There's a lot of excitement there. Do you feel that too? Is it, you know, as he's getting closer, is there an excitement level that's, you know, increasing?
No, because if I think about it too much, you know, it's like... There are no givens. You know, Max came back and pitched well. We lost the game because we didn't score enough runs or score any, you know, felt like. So that's just one part of the puzzle. It's a piece of the sum of the parts. It's a part that pitches every fifth or sixth day. Yeah, it's got a really good track record of being good. And we really look forward to having him back not only as a pitcher but as a part of our team. But I will know what's going on in Daytona.
If you can only watch one tonight, guys, which one would it be? Mets Marlins or DeGrom pitching?
Easy for me, DeGrom.
I hate to answer this way, Andrew, but what is this, 1941? Like, I got to make a choice?
Yeah, for this.
Yes, for this.
I mean, you sound like Buck Showalter with that question.
Come on. You got to pick one.
Well, I mean, DeGrom's only going to throw, what, 40 pitches? So that frees me up for...
Your decision. What's your decision there, Hotshot? Come on. You got one choice.
I'd rather watch a full, meaningful game with the Mets nine innings.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
It's 40 pitches.
It's the Marlins.
But it still counts. All right, good. So what am I going to watch for the rest of the night? What am I going to watch, Summer League? I'm not going out. The weather stinks.
Have you heard about this kid, Chet Holmgren, by the way? He's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, I've heard all about him, and I've seen enough. Yeah. Hey, Gordon, you got any shows that I got to watch that I could watch maybe?
I don't have any shows. You know, our buddy Jake Montgomery brought up a good Twitter question the other day. I think it was yesterday, about what's the best movie since the year 2000?
Oh, my gosh.
There's not one that jumps right off the page. Well, there's a couple
to
in
me,
my
there
mind,
is, but I'm biased, and I, you know, because
it's...
It?
Give it to
it's,
me.
I'm a huge Lord of the Rings guy, the Lord of the Rings series.
I'm not big.
It won 11 Oscars, the final
It doesn't
movie,
matter. Doesn't
loud.
Matter.
I'm just saying, that's the answer.
That's that Hollywood crap.
That's your answer. I don't think that would be the answer.
Well, let me ask you this. If the movie was so bad, though, I mean, those movies of that genre don't win, like, Best Picture Oscars.
What kind of movies? The big budget?
Like fantasy movies.
Yeah.
They don't win Oscars. I'm not for Best Picture, they don't.
How many fantasy movies have been any good?
Well, that's my point. Yeah, this one was that good that it won 11 freaking Oscars. It won every award it was nominated for.
Holy crap.
So what's the answer? Well, give me an answer.
Let's see. I'm just kind of going through.
To me, if rewatchability becomes part of it at all, it's Wolf of Wall Street. Like, anytime that's on, I'm sticking with it. I'm watching it. And you know what? It's funny. Like, Wolf of Wall Street It draws parallels to me to Goodfellas in a way, in that Goodfellas, by the time you get to the end of Goodfellas, you almost feel bad a little bit for Henry Hill. All his friends are dead. He's stuck in witness protection. He's living his life as a schnook. When you get to the end of Wolf of Wall Street, I think most people wanted to be Jordan Belfort. It's like a complete reversal of the character, even though both characters are kind of despicable in their own way.
I would put Spotlight high on my list. I thought that movie was amazing. The Departed.
I thought The Departed was overrated.
I would take Wolf of Wall Street as good as other Scorsese movies.
No, but we're talking since the year 2000. What about?
I'm going back in time here. It's not doing me any good.
The one movie that probably not many people have seen, and it's probably not up everybody's alley, it's a horror movie. It's called Hereditary. Have you ever seen this?
No, I don't think I've heard of it.
It is the scariest movie, and I don't get scared. I have a black heart. Nothing affects me. I always tell my kids I'm out of emotions. I have no emotions left. This movie is legitimately terrifying. Hereditary. It's got Gabriel Byrne is in it. Couple of other people you've seen in other things. Downright terrifying.
How about, are we Argo fans?
Love it.
I love Argo.
Argo?
Great movie. Very
good
rewatchable,
friend, by the too. Way, Don LaGreca chimes in via the old text message. It's not sponsored, though. He says, what about No Country for Old Men?
I didn't like at the end. You can't have the main character dying. I don't get to see it. Like, it was very weird. I liked it a lot up until that point, but it's just weird the way it ended.
Dark Knight in the conversation?
Say again?
Dark Knight, absolutely.
That's a good, very strong.
Christopher Nolan, absolutely. I'm not an Avatar guy. I think that's a lot of... By the way, did you see the sequel for... Which, by the way, do we really need an Avatar sequel, much less two more I think we're getting?
No, I think there's like seven of them.
Well, whatever. But did you see the next one is going to be 3 hours long? Do we really need a three-hour Avatar movie?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to answer this for specific reasons.
Slips into the blue, whatever.
Weirder that the director, whose name is escaping me right now for some reason.
James Cameron,
said, you know, we have to normalize people going to the bathroom during movies. It's like, are you going to give us an idea of when to do that? If you're going to make three-hour movies? Or are we just going to have to guess?
I was just rewatching with the kids Titanic. You know, like, everybody points out the ridiculousness of the door, right? Like, he could have fit on the door. The other two things that I didn't notice on the first watching, one, when she's on the door, all she's talking about is how cold she is.
Yes.
She's saying this to a person who is in the ocean at that point. Like, yeah, I know it's cold. I'm in the ocean. And then secondly, the whole ending of the movie, I knew it at the time, but rewatching it just makes me more infuriated. What was the point? She just takes the thing and throws it right in the ocean.
I know.
It's like they had no ending, and they're like, eh, we'll just take the thing and just throw it in the ocean. It's so stupid.
Does the year 2000 count, like,
yeah,
in the conversation?
I think so.
How about Gladiator?
I liked it. I don't know that it's better than the ones that we've mentioned.
I agree. It was good, but it wouldn't be.
Traffic was a good movie. I like Traffic. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, definitely.
2000?
It's very good.
Now, Andrew, will you watch Hereditary based on just my recommendation?
Well, so if I were a horror movie fan, definitely. But it's just not a movie that I would be drawn to.
Any Daniel Day-Lewis, like There Will Be Blood?
That's a tough watch. I mean, this from the guy who's saying about Spotlight. I mean, come on, you know.
Right, it's not like the rewatchability factor is tough on that one.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, it was very. I enjoyed a lot. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, fantastic! Great movie. I don't know how I forgot that. That is so.
Well, you know why? Because movies over the last couple of years, especially during like the prime COVID years, I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch a hell of a lot. Like, maybe it was because I wasn't in the right frame of mind to be watching movies or whatever, but like, and they weren't in theaters. You know, I can't get past that hiccup. I just didn't watch a heck of a lot of these movies the last couple of years.
That movie is like a drug to me. Like, if I come in at any point, that is one of the most rewatchable movies that has come out since 2000 by far. And it's I rewatch it every time.
So there we go. At first, we couldn't really think of many, and now we've got like 50 to 60 great movies right. on this list. So there's been a lot.
I had to go back and look at the list. Like, I totally forgot.
Yeah, there's been a lot of good ones. I like war movies, 1917, Dunkirk, and Glorious Bastards. Those are three good ones since 2000. I would put them on the list.
I just watched Inglourious Bastards again like a few weeks ago. Very, very good. The other two I haven't seen yet, but I have copies of them. What's better, 1917 or Dunkirk?
I like 1917.
I might slightly lean to 1917, but they're both great. I think they're both really, really
good. Gotta watch them, yeah.
Let's see. One last one for you here, guys. So on this day in 2010. Ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
What's your decision?
In this fall, man, this is very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
That's right. LeBron James shocked the sports world by announcing via a live ESPN special the decision that he'd be leaving the Cavs and taking his talents to South Beach to join the Miami Heat, where he went to four titles and won two of them.
Isn't that kind of the touch point now of like the beginning of the NBA crazy offseason? Like,
yes.
Isn't that the where it all spurred from, right? And yep. People gave him, you know, garbage at the time. Oh, the TV show. We all wanted to know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was the perfect way
to
do
it. Because it leaked. Remember, it leaked.
It did leak.
Like, early in the day.
Yeah.
Did it? I don't remember knowing definitively until...
Yeah, Steven had it first.
There was rumors that it was Miami.
Steven, we're on a first-name basis now, me and him. I just call him Steven.
Well, for me, in terms of, like, like, it's a sports moment, but that didn't necessarily involve, like, a game or anything like that. It's one of the most memorable non-sports moments I think I've ever seen. Was watching that,
and he got crucified for that. And yep. To his credit, a few years later, like in the time since, LeBron has actually said, like, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't do the whole prime time special thing.
Why?
Because he got crucified.
It was what we all cared about. He was the biggest star at the moment. He put it on TV. We were all watching it.
And then they looked even worse the next night.
On TV.
The next night is when they did the pep rally down at the arena.
Right.
That
he should apologize for.
The not three, not four, not five, not six.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But, you know, putting it on TV, I don't think that's
I was just surprised that he would, I mean, like, his emotional connection to those fans in Cleveland, it felt so cruel to make a televised spectacle out of it. I get why he did it. The ratings, I'm sure it was worth it. But I remember just feeling so stunned when he said Miami that he would do that to Cleveland. It just, I don't know. I never thought that it would go that way.
I thought it was funny because he did it in like a YMCA in Connecticut, right?
Right.
And people,
yes. It was a Boys
Nick
and Girls Club.
Boys and Girls, you're right. Boys and Girls Club. And immediately Nick Van, he's in Connecticut. Yeah. Aha. No.
Yeah.
No. Sit down.
Charitable endeavor, though, from what I remember.
Yeah, it was fun. I don't understand why people criticize him for it. We were all interested in it. We were all watching it. Put it on TV. Who cares?
Well, if you remember, like, a couple of years before that, Andrew, right, the Celtics, they made the big blockbuster trade to mm-hmm. bring Garnett over to create, in essence, a super team, and they won a championship. But there was never a spectacle to the sense of the decision, which brought it all out the way it did.
And there hasn't really been one since.
No.
Not like this.
Madness all the time.
No.
Dave but in terms Lillard of like an actual televised,
$20 million.
Right? But in terms
no,
of
just the draft,
yeah.
basically,
yeah, basically right. That's it, and that'll do it for ENN on this Friday.
Yeah, nowadays they probably would have had the decision on Peacock, and everybody would have had to purchase that and done the whole thing.
Right, exactly.
It. Yeah,
and you still wouldn't do it.
No, I just wait until. Why would I? And wait 2 minutes later, I'll find out. It's Twitter, right? That's what it's there for. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Coming up, we'll get back to the baseball, the Aaron Judge news, the Yankees, the Mets, a whole lot more, and your calls as we take you up until 7 o'clock. It is the Michael Kay Show. He's Dan Gross. I'm Gordon Damer. It's 98.7 FM, ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.